रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 14 किंग चित्र के दुस लामेंटेशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। तस्य भार्या सहस्राणाम् सहस्राणि दशाभवन् सान्तनेकश्चापि नृप न लभेतास संततिम् तस्य ऑफ हिम किंग चित्रकेतु वार्या ऑफ वाइव्स सहस्राणाम ऑफ थाउजेंड्स सहस्राणी थाउजेंड्स दश टेन अभवन देयर वेयर संतानिकः क्वाइट कैपेबल ऑफ बिगेटिंग सन्स च एंड अपि ऑल्दो नृपः द किंग न नट लेभे ऑब्टेंड तासु इन देम संततिम A son. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. This Chitraketu had 10 million wives. But although he was capable of producing children, he did not receive a child from any of them. By chance, all the wives were barren. Okay, there is no purport, so we'll go to text 12. Translation. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. Chitraketu, the husband of these millions of wives, was endowed with a beautiful form, magnanimity, and youth. He was born in a high family, he had a complete education, and he was wealthy and opulent. Nevertheless, in spite of being endowed with all these assets, he was full of anxiety because he did not have a son. Purport. It appears that the king first married one wife, but she could not bear a child. Then he married a second, a third, a fourth, and so on. But none of the wives could bear children. In spite of the material assets of Janma Aishwarya Suta Sri, birth in an aristocratic family with full opulence, wealth, education, and beauty, he was very much aggrieved because in spite of having so many wives, he had no son. Certainly, his grief was natural. Grihastha life does not mean having a wife and no children. Janaka Pandit says, putrahinam griha sunyam. If a family man has no son, his home is no better than a desert. The king was certainly most unhappy that he could not get a son. And this is why he had married so many times. Kshatriyas especially are allowed to marry more than one wife. And this king did so. Nonetheless, he had no issue. Happy to be back here. And thanks Ananta Prabhu. Despite a busy schedule of Padayatra and all, you allowed me to be here. And I'm very happy to be here because a lot of positive, good vibes here. So I hope and pray that this continues for the coming years, years after years after years. And I wish that I keep continue to come also and participate in this. Nice place, nice temple, nice devotees. Yeah. This is my first Bhagavatam class after I changed from Brahmacharya Ashram. And this and the verse here speaking that he had millions of wives. Sri Krishna is, you know, he is like he loves fun, you know. He makes devotee, you know, put in situation and just enjoy that. It is says Bharya Sahasranam Sahasrani Dasa Bhavan. Sahasra means 1000, 3 zeros, and another Sahasrani means another 3 zeros. So 3 plus 3 6, then again Dasa and another 1 0, 10. So 10,000,000, that is actually 1 crore, 10 million wives. But unfortunately, none of them could bear a child. Sometimes we go into this calculation, you know, so many wives, what is his lifespan and all those things, you know. I mean, person, according to our calculation, even if you live 100 years, so 100 into 365 days, it's less than 10 million. But those days, they used to live long. It is said in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, in the chapter 1, Vyasadeva is describing the battlefield. And it is said that the warriors who assembled there to fight were from grandfather like Bhishma, great-grandfather like Bhishma, to grandson like Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is grandson of son of Arjuna's son, right? So from grandson to grandfather, everybody is present in the war. And we can understand that it's not just a playground that their grandfather and grandchildren are, you know, great grandchildren are gathering to play. They're actually fighting war, killing each other. That means they're in full grown and fully developed bodies, and all are living. So this shows Shri Panchatattva Bhagwan ki jai. This shows that how the lifespan used to be more earlier days. I went to one ancient temple in the state of Karnataka, in Melkote. Have you heard of this place, Melkote? No? Very ancient temple of Narsingadev is there, on the mountain top, Yoga Narsimha. It is said Prahlad Maharaj, after Hiranyakashipu was killed, he felt he is the cause of his father's death. Therefore, he committed a sin. Therefore, to absolve himself from this sin, he went to that mountain to do tapasya, to do austerity. And Narsimhadev appeared there in front of him. He said, no, you don't have to do, because there was nothing has happened like that. And you have committed no sin, so discontinue from this, you know. So the deity appeared there, Narsimhadev, and the temple is there. Anyway, I was there. There is another temple also below. Ramanujacharya, Sripad Ramanujacharya, he established another temple. And I saw there are Bhimana. Bhimana means the palanki on which they carry the deities for Ushav. You know, every day evening they would carry. So I saw a huge one, then a medium one, then a small one. So I asked the priest there, why there are three different ones? Is it for different festivals you take different, like, you know, rich people have different cars, and different day they take different cars for different events? So is it like that? He said, no, not like that. Earlier people used to carry this Viman, they used to have a lot of strength. Now with 100 of years passing, people are not able to carry that Viman anymore, because they have to carry on their, you know, shoulders. So therefore the smaller versions have come out. And because plastics are not allowed in Vedic temples, so far there is no plastic palanki so far. Still made of food, but they're quite heavy still now. Then I went to the kitchen. There has to be a huge mortar to grind. Tomorrow we'll make dosas for deities. So to grind the, you know, batter, they had a huge stone grinding, hand grinding things. Then there was a smaller one. Then I asked, why is it? Earlier the people used to use this, now they are using this. So even our own lifespan, we are seeing how things are changing so drastically. We are losing, you know, bodily strength, vitality and so many things. So we should not doubt such kind of statement in Shastra, which is speaking about a time and place where people used to have such kind of opulence, strength, ability. But unfortunately, in case of Chitraketu, although he had all the education, all the strength, vitality, power, and so many wives, he couldn't have a child. So ultimately, the fate of a person, it rules. We have seen it. And unless one is satisfied with what comes by our own, you know, fate, it is very difficult to live in life. Life becomes full of anxiety. And here, interestingly, Srila Prabhupada is saying, such anxiety is very natural. You know, it is natural. We cannot artificially say, you know, I don't have any anxiety. Unless one transcends the nature, modes of material nature, one cannot be, pretend that one is satisfied. We cannot pretend. Satisfaction is a state of heart, the state of consciousness that one has to achieve by transcending the modes gradually. So therefore, the anxiety Chitraketu was feeling, experiencing, was not something unnatural. According to his status of his spiritual progress, he was experiencing it. Right? And that is natural. So, then how the Shastra explains all the situations is very nice, very interesting. We see that Lord Krishna, he speaks in Bhagavad Gita twice, one verse. You know, one verse he speaks twice in Bhagavad Gita. That shows that how important that verse is in everybody's life, devotee's life especially. That manmana bhavad bhakto matyaji mam namaskuru maveva syuktamte pratijanihi priyashime. So this verse Krishna speaks twice in Bhagavad Gita. Once in chapter 9 and again in chapter 18. Are you all aware of this? Are you aware? This kind of, everybody knows, we should know this. Because this verse is so important in everybody's life. To emphasize it, Krishna speaks twice in Bhagavad Gita. That one should always think of me. Think of Krishna. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. In our mind, you think about me. No matter where we are, what we do, we can think of Krishna. Doesn't matter what our position in society, what our position in, on the scale of education, or in the scale of money, income, wealth. It doesn't matter who you are. Anybody has a right to think of Krishna, and Krishna allows it. He says, think of me all the time. That is so nice, so beautiful, so wonderful. Matyaji mam namaskuru, always worship me, think of me, worship me. But what is that? First he says, think of me, but then he explains, what is the way of thinking me? You know, even Hiranyakashipu was also thinking of Krishna all the time, Vishnu all the time, as an enemy. Of course, Narada Muni says, it doesn't matter how we think of Krishna, it always helps. You know, that's how good Krishna is. Even if we think about him negatively, still it helps. But Krishna tells, if you are thinking about me, think in a proper, positive way. Matyaji, that means worship me. What the thinking is, like with respect, with the feeling of worship, with the feeling of awe and reverence. Then he says, one who thinks of me in this way, one definitely comes to me and there is no doubt about it. Usually when things are very good and happy in our life, we think of Krishna positively. But when things goes wrong or negative, we kind of try to accuse the Lord, say, and we also take so many philosophical statements from Shastra that He is Sarva Karana Karanam, you know, He is cause of all causes. So all my misfortune is also caused by Krishna, things like that. And we become little disrespectful to Krishna. That is not good actually. Because we have to take responsibility. To take responsibility of our own life. See, what is devotion ultimately? Devotion means serving Krishna and give something to Krishna. And we can't do that if we don't take responsibility. Really can't do that. If everything is Krishna's mercy and Krishna's cause of everything, then what am I doing here? So therefore, we have to take that responsibility that I want to do something and give Krishna. Of course, everything is supplied by Krishna, but I want to do it. Okay, just like we are cooking something. Yeah, the grains are given by Krishna, the water is given by Krishna, the fire is given by Krishna, everything is given by Krishna, and the knowledge to make it also is given by Krishna. Everything is Krishna. But still, I want to make something and offer it to Krishna. You know? That endeavor, that responsibility, we have to take in our life for everything we do and nicely offer it back to Krishna. So, this Krishna is speaking that one has a right to think of me, He has given this right to us to think of Him, and we can do it as a responsibility to offer. This is one sloka Krishna speaks twice in Bhagavad Gita to emphasize. Another sloka He also speaks twice in Bhagavad Gita. There is one more sloka which speaks about that how one should render duties that is conducive to one's own nature and not do something which is another's nature. Paradharma bhaya bhaya. That is sloka He speaks. This sloka also He speaks twice in Bhagavad Gita, emphasizing how much important it is that we stay in our own nature, own elements. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he is, you know, he's struck by the grief of not having a child. That's his status. He is cut up in the material world, cut up in the material nature, and he's experiencing a grief. So Lord Krishna explains that if one is in a certain state, a certain nature, one should not try to do anything else. That means he cannot artificially behave that he is a pure devotee and here is no grief. That's my point. You know, the misery is there, he's experiencing it. He cannot pretend saying that I am not this, I am like this. That is not going to work. That's not going to work. Therefore, Lord Krishna explains that if we perform our duties wherever we are in our status, and at the same time think of Him all the time, then gradually one will progress towards the transcending the nature, modes of nature. We have seen in this world there is nothing which happens all of a sudden. You know, like nowadays there's a lot of crash course, lot of quick cooking. You know, very fast, everything fast. But actually there is nothing called fast. Even if you, like, because I am into cooking, I give a lot of cooking example. Like they say, you can prepare a meal in 2 minutes. Take some pre-cooked, you know, food, noodles and all this, put it in boiling water and there it is, you know, things are ready. Some frozen vegetable, just heat it and in 2 minutes you can make something, and those pre-mixed spices are also there, right? You put everything, 2, 3, 4 minutes, things are ready. But actually a lot of work has gone into that food already. Somebody has made the noodles, somebody has cut the vegetables, somebody has pre-cooked it, somebody transported it, somebody frozen, so a lot of electric, you know, arrangement is going on to keep it fresh. So what is happening in 2 minutes is actually not 2 minutes. It is actually taking more time than normally it should. And we are paying for it, all of us. So in the process, what is happening? We are working more. We are working more and thinking that we are working less. You know, it's like kind of everybody is working more and more and more, and this way the whole complication is there. So my point is, nothing happens quickly or suddenly, things like that. Everything takes time. You know, you just plant a seed, the tree comes, it takes time for the tree to grow. It is gradual. It's everything in the whole universe, creation is very slow, steady, and actually it is a beautiful thing to observe. A plant is growing, or a child is growing in womb and taking birth. These are all very slow process. And that slow process brings a lot of different varieties of pleasure. Watching a plant growing, then leaves are coming, then buds are coming, then fruits, flower, vegetables are all coming, is a very beautiful experience to watch. So this creation, nothing is just spontaneous or sudden. Things takes time. So therefore, this overcoming all these griefs, gradually coming or transcending the nature, also takes some time. Krishna also speaks this, bhavanam janmanam ante jnanavan mam pratnyate. It's gradual, it's slow. Of course, Srila Prabhupada says bhakti is a very fast process. It's like an elevator. Okay. Because a lot of mercy and lot of conducive atmosphere comes for the transformation to happen. Just like it is said, if you take iron and do some alchemy process, Srila Sanatana Goswami Padhi gives this example, then iron becomes gold. Right? You heard this example? Have you heard this example? Yes or no? Iron becoming gold? No? Yes. You have heard alchemy? This side devotees? It's a very popular example we give. Right? Yeah? But for that iron to become gold, it undergoes a lot of torture. You know, torture. Or charcoal, which is basically carbon, this can also become a diamond, that is transformation, but it also undergoes a lot of pressure and temperature, a lot of torture it has to go through to become diamond, to manifest as diamond. Similarly, a bhakti provides that environment, that atmosphere, where transformation can be conducive or fast. Like if you put a seed in the desert, it may not fructify. Years may pass by. But in fertile land, it naturally, you know, comes out quickly. So bhakti basically provides that environment where things can happen. But again, the transformation is not spontaneous. It takes its own time. And we have, you know, all of us been practicing in Krishna consciousness for so many years, and we know it is not easy, it is quite tough. But yes, the environment is definitely positive, environment is very nice, conducive. But the transformation, we may get certain, you know, certain moment we are very excited, we are very happy or elevated, and we feel as if we have transcended the modes also, and we feel our surrender is very complete. But then other moment again we go back to our own conditionings. So therefore, we have to accept that we need the environment and we allow or subject ourselves to the austerity that is required, and expect the transformation to happen slowly, gradually, and experience it and kind of enjoy it, so that we are happy in Krishna consciousness. Here it is said that he was quite distressed for not having a child, despite so much of endeavor. Material endeavors are very, very humbling. It's not easy to become successful in material world. It's not easy. It's very tough. And if we take the responsibility and fight, in the process, with so much of effort, he was still distressed. Till Narada Muni comes in the picture and two personality, the sages, they came and tried to help him. And they're helping him to transcend the nature gradually. And how Chitrakuta Maharaj, having gone through all his experiences, become pure devotee, that's a very beautiful subject. So yes, we have seen that this is Canto 6, the devotional service, the different narrations, Sukadeva Goswami, Sata Goswami, they are giving. It is right from the third canto, it is beginning like with Kardamuni, Devahuti, and all those pastimes. And in the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj, how he wanted a huge kingdom, And those desires were very natural for him. Although Narada Muni said, you better go back and play. He said, no way, I am going to have it. And when Lord Vishnu appeared to him, although he was kind of transformed in his heart by seeing him, he said, I don't want these things. Still, Lord Vishnu, he gave him all those things that he was looking for. Probably because the Lord thought, even if the surrender is complete and pure at the moment, later he may not be able to keep it up. He said, better you take this kingdom and rule the way you want and gradually transform yourself to come back to me. And that's how it happened. After many, many years of ruling, then again, this Gandharvas came and there was a huge fight. Later he accepted and he went to Vadrika. Vadrika Ashram, did tapasya and went back to Vaikuntha. That's Dhruva's story. So in all these places we see that how the transformation that has to happen, it has its own charm, gradual. And the atmosphere has to be provided where a person can, experience that change nicely. Hare Krishna, I have overcrossed all the time, 8:45, it's 8:55. Thank you for your attention. We'll continue some more on this tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Should I take questions or not, Prabhu? Yeah? That's 8:55. Till 9, okay. Any questions, most welcome. Or comments, Prabhu? Comments? Something? Any mistakes? Lalit Govind Prabhu. Hey, Mataji's. Anybody? Yeah. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you for a nice class. I would like to ask you, because you mentioned that while we are doing service, we need to take responsibility. Can you maybe give some practical example or make distinction when we are doing service and taking responsibility, and doing service and don't taking responsibility? So maybe in some practical, from some practical experience, maybe prasadam distribution or something.
Mm-hmm. I was giving the example of cooking itself. Normally what happens, we depend on Krishna, that is fine, but we depend so much that when you do mistakes, we think it is Krishna. You know, so that's what I am trying to say. When we take responsibility, we shouldn't go through this kind of excuse or whatever it is. We will depend on Krishna but take responsibility. That is my point. That if my dal is burnt, you know, it is me. It is not Krishna. You know, I spoiled his milk. You know, he gave me the milk, he gave me the sugar, he gave me the saffron, everything he gave. And I simply spoiled it. It is not Krishna, it is me. It is Krishna who is suffering because of me. It's not devotional service. It is something that is a mistake. So after coming to Krishna consciousness and devotional life, spiritual life, sometimes we don't take responsibility. That is my my own personal experience also. Laziness, basically, kind of laziness, irresponsibility, which is not good. It spoils the bhakti. Because everything is given by Krishna, I have to just do it nicely. That's all. Similarly, whatever endeavor we do in whichever field, whichever activity, whether it is studies or it's a job or it's sankirtan or it is construction, whatever it is, we have to take responsibility of doing it nicely and offering it to Krishna. That's my point. Is it answering your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Any other? Okay, so thank you all. Hare Krishna. So we'll meet at 10 here. Can we meet 15 minutes early? 9:45. I want to speak something here. Then we go to kitchen. Yeah? Yeah? It'll be nice. Okay. Thanks. हरिवश्री भोपाल की जय।